This is the Author Archive Podcast. In this edition, in this chapter, a brand new book, Vassal State, How America Runs Britain, written by Angus Hanton. Welcome, Angus. Vassal, what does it mean in your head? I learnt about it in history. It was lords and vassals. So what do you mean?
I suppose a vassal is subject to someone else's desires and they're there to serve someone else. Basically a servant, perhaps a slave, but more someone who doesn't really have control of their own destiny.
What was the emotion that you were feeling in your bosom as you wrote this? Is it written from anger, shock, a revolutionary desire? What was it?
Definitely not anger. Certainly an element of shock and surprise. I think it was one of those situations where every time you turn over a stone, you get more horrified by what you find underneath it. It was just, we all know that America has a big influence on the UK, but I hadn't realised the extent to which they own it and the extent to which American policies are geared towards helping their companies.
Okay, so it's not your altruism that they're here.
Absolutely not. They're here to make money and take it home. They're here to build businesses which give them a long-term stream of income.
Okay, towards the at the beginning of your book, you take us the eager reader to the supermarket. So let's go to, in our heads, let's go to Morrison's and take us through and show us the astonishing and upsetting detail.
Well, I suppose the first thing to say is that Morrison's is owned by US private equity. So you've already got you're going into a business where all the profits from that supermarket will be going to US owners. And they'll be going with very little tax paid. But once you go into the supermarket, you're not worried about who owns it. You're worried about what you buy. So you might go into the cereal aisles and you'll find very British brands like Weetabix. And you'll think, oh, this is by appointment to His Majesty the King. And it won't really show on the packet. So you have to look up to see who owns the brand. And you find out that it's owned by a company in Missouri, in the Midwest of the US. And then you find that other British brands, or what you think brands you think of as British, like Cadbury's, are owned by Kraft of the US. And then, of course, there's all the brands that you always knew were American, like Mars bars and Kellogg's. But even Mars, I mean, we think of it as a sweets company. But once you go into the aisle for example, dog food, cat food, you find both the main brands there are owned by Mars. The same for Ben's Rice. So what you find is that the brands, which is really the parts of the supermarket that are most profitable, they're predominantly owned by American corporations.
When did this start? Because I was enraged by Brexit. I thought Brexit was appalling, but so many of our fellow countrymen voted to take back control. I didn't ever hear someone say, Nigel Farage say, let's take back control, let's give it to America. I mean, did that Brexit vote have any bearing on this?
Absolutely, it did. I mean, in a way, you could say that the world is divided into three great trading blocks. There's China, there's Europe, and there's America. And we were fairly closely linked to Europe, and we had the benefits of being linked to it. But by voting for Brexit, we were hardly going to throw ourselves into the arms of the Chinese. So it naturally pushes us closer to the Americans. But even before Brexit, American corporations were taking far more ownership of the UK than most people realised. You see, we've got the traditional multinationals, sort of companies like Coca-Cola, PepsiCo, Exxon, huge companies that have big operations in the UK. But what happened really in the last few years, since about 2009, is that two other big prongs of American capitalism, American multinationals, took a big chunk of the UK. One was big tech, which we really should call big US tech, if we want to get the name more reflecting what it is. And they grew, the big tech US tech companies grew enormously in the last 10 or 12 years. And the other is private equity, very much hidden, but huge. And going back to Morrisons, private equity is companies own Morrisons. So it's really these three great prongs, which you can sort of think of as separate incursions into US business, the UK business, I mean.
Yeah, I'm not very keen on the idea of private equity. I don't like sovereign wealth funds either buying this country. Am I just an old stick in the mud hippie?
Well, first of all, I would say private equity is far bigger in terms of its ownership than sovereign wealth funds. Sovereign wealth funds get more publicity, but on the quiet, it's really the US private equity that's taken most of the foreign ownership. And no, I don't think you're just an old hippie. I think it really matters who owns businesses, because that's what the country of ownership is, where the profits go. It's where the control lies as well. And it's also where the best jobs go. If you're a big company operating in a country like the UK, and you're based, say, in Chicago, and you have a research and development department, you're likely to employ the scientists and the research and development people in America. So it means the better jobs are being exported. This question about whether it matters where companies are owned is one where we differ so much from the rest of the world. The Americans really care who owns their companies. The Europeans really care. It's just a slightly eccentric thing that's grown up with the British that, oh, who cares who owns our companies? We should care.
Do we own much in America?
Very little. One of the underlying themes of my book is about information, getting information. And most of the information that I've got for the book is from US sources, very reputable ones, the Internal Revenue Service and the Bureau of Economic Analysis. Now, the Bureau of Economic Analysis has studied how much Britain owns in the US and how much the US owns in Britain. And not only do they own far more, but what they own is increasing, whilst what we own is decreasing.
What were the politicians thinking? Because presumably our leaders knew this was happening, saw it happening, and were applauding.
Absolutely. The politicians are neutral or positive about US ownership, and they've encouraged it. They've sometimes said, and Jerry Grimstone said, that he thinks that private equity managers are better than British managers. So they've sometimes even said that they prefer foreign ownership. But you have to also to look at a cultural issue, that the UK prime ministers and chancellors historically, say for the last 15 years, they've almost all either worked for an American company before they went into office or after they left office. So they are very much taking the American dollar at some point, and therefore culturally they look up to the Americans.
But it wasn't that long ago when we were young, the Americans looked up to us, particularly culturally, because that's something that historically we've been very good at. And it now seems to be it's being squeezed out.
Absolutely. At the time, say, of the Beatles, the Americans were looking very much to Britain for cultural lead, but throughout the 60s, really. But that's a long time ago. What the Americans, if you think of someone like Taylor Swift, they sweep the world with their, or Disney, they sweep the world with their culture. But it's something a bit more than that, David. It's about who controls the channels through which we get our culture. In a way, it doesn't matter if it's a British film. It doesn't really help the British economy if it's a British film that's going through Netflix, and that's produced by maybe it's got British actors, maybe, but produced in an American studio, going through Netflix or going through Apple TV, or Amazon Prime. It's really who owns the means of delivery. And this is a pattern right across the economy that, I mean, if you want to rent a house in for a holiday in Cornwall, you'll probably rent it through Airbnb. So in other words, for a British person to rent a British home, they're probably paying an American on the way.
You mentioned Amazon. Now, I do tend to use Amazon. My wife has a birthday coming up, and where did I buy the presents? I got it from Amazon, and I don't feel bad. But when I read your book, I thought, oh, God, I'm adding to this. I'm making it worse.
Well, I think Amazon's an interesting case because I don't know what you bought for your wife for her present, but there's a two-thirds chance that you bought it from a British supplier rather than Amazon and that it just went through Amazon. So what Amazon are cleverly doing is they're taking a royalty on a transaction between a British supplier and a British customer. But I don't think individually the right response is individually to feel guilty about taking the right supplier. I don't think one should feel guilty about having an Apple phone in one's pocket. I think what one should feel annoyed about and concerned about and act on is the fact that our policymakers allow these companies to pay so little tax and to establish de facto monopolies to create monopoly power and also to do so little to support UK competitors.
And it's not just America, is it, Angus? I mean, one of the hot under the collar moments that I have regularly is water companies. Now, it isn't the Americans owning the water companies, is it?
No, I think in case of water companies, that's an area where the Americans haven't taken much control. But I would say that it is American style of business that we've welcomed in, allowing very high levels of gearing and allowing a culture of treating the company as something to be used and to be exploited, with a very t almost exclusive focus on finances. So yes, there are other areas where management of the economy and business has been very poor, but I think in the case of water companies, they're following the pattern of American private equity.
As you mentioned, pattern. One of the things that seems to be growing is I know a bloke who was heading up a major company, and he was taking home 2 million a year or something. Now, when we grew up, this was unheard of.
Yes.
Is this another American thing that we've taken to our bosom?
Very much. High executive remuneration or pay is something that we've got from the Americans, but it's sort of worse than that because they still pay more than we do, and it's contributed to companies wanting to move from being listed in London to being listed in New York. With all the costs that involves, cost that is to the British economy and to the stock exchange. So it incentivizes managers to want to move there. The other reason, of course, is that New York tends to value companies more highly. So the loss of power of the FTSE the stock exchange is very significant.
And with all of this American ownership, I'm sort of disappointed that our roads are still falling apart. Our NHS is still falling apart. Our trains aren't great. You know, the infrastructure that we Brits enjoy, he says in inverted commas, doesn't seem to be benefiting from this.
No, absolutely, it's not. And if you look at those two of those areas that you've mentioned, the roads and NHS, it's clear that the Americans are doing very well out of those, but not putting back. Let's take roads. I mean, you mentioned Amazon. Amazon use a disproportionate amount there's a disproportionate amount of road use. But it's an externality, as economists call it. That is to say, it's a cost to the country, but it's not recognised as such. So they don't pay adequately for the cost of road repair, and of course it's lorries and heavy vehicles that make most wear on the roads. But in the case of NHS, American companies are doing very well, thank you. There is an extraordinary amount of US drugs and other supplies to the NHS. And they're ultimately, as a whole, I suppose corporations are amoral, aren't they? They're focused on their profits and they're not worried about the overall level of service. They may be worried about the efficacy of their particular drugs, but they're principally focused on their sales.
We've got an election coming up. Now, for the last 8.5 years, I've driven an electric car. I feel quite strongly about green matters. And our politicians seem to be obfuscating as fast as they can. How do the Americans that run Britain, how do they feel about green things?
Well, one shouldn't dismiss their concern about green things as well. They live on the same planet. They're suffering from the same climate change. The Americans are much more businesslike about how they approach green. They tend with Tesla. They've kind of taken over a large part of the car market, and Tesla has a nice model where you pay for recharging, and that's an important part of their business model, the recharging on the motorways. I think what they feel about green, what the Americans feel about green, is that they need to own it. So what they've done is they've given huge subsidies to their car manufacturers if they manufacture in the US. So there's a what's called a sort of battery belt in the US of states which have big battery manufacturing plants. So they've used the desire, everyone's desire really, to go greener, to bring business onshore into the US. And that's meant that some factories have moved out of Europe back to America.
One of the Wow, I didn't realize that moments reading your book, Vassal State, is I go out and I don't have any money in my pocket at all, as in coins and notes. Now, I think of this as hugely convenient, but there's another side.
Absolutely. Yes, it is convenient, isn't it? It's lovely to have one card or phone that you just swipe and it pays for everything, and it reduces the risks of money being stolen. It reduces the risk of you running out of money. It saves the trouble of having to count out change. It's got lots of benefits, but as you say, it has a drawback, which is that all the payment systems that we're likely to use, which is to say Visa or MasterCard or Google Pay or Apple Pay, they're all American owned. And on the way through, as we make that transaction, a small payment each time, a non-trivial payment though, is going to the American owners of the payment systems. And that's not just true of the payment systems, it's true of credit cards where people are borrowing. They're likely to be borrowing through US companies. So we it's a sort of like a sort of homage or tribute really, that we're paying every time we do any business, we're paying the Americans for the privilege.
Angus, you've written a book. People will buy it through Amazon. And what should we do about it?
It's not easy. In a way, the book is called How America Runs Britain. It's a diagnosis. It's kind of identifying a problem and trying to start a discussion on what we can do about it. But there are lots of things, and the book highlights many points at which the British have been completely supine. Many areas in which we could say, look, this rule is very good for Americans and not very good for British companies. Just to give one example, the tax system means that if you build up a business, it's very advantageous to sell it, because you get entrepreneurs relief. That is to say, you pay little tax, and the maximum tax you'll pay is 20% capital gains tax. Whereas if you carry on running the business, you'll pay 45 or 50% tax on the profits. So that gives owners of businesses an incentive to sell out. We ought to reverse that, much more like the German system with the Mittelstand, their all their companies, where there are tax and social reasons for them not to sell out. So that's one thing we should do. But more generally, I think we need to be closer to Europe. We need to be along with Brussels, trying to control the excesses of the large tech companies, Amazon, Apple, Google. So there's another thing we need to do. I think we need to invest more in our own businesses, and regulate more. And fundamentally, we need to make sure that others doing business in this country, particularly the Americans, are paying their full share of tax, and not doing transfer pricing and various other mechanisms that mean that they pay very low rates of tax or none at all.
Okay, at the beginning of this conversation, I asked you what your emotional state was when you started writing it. How is it now it's finished and it's out?
Well, it's a lovely feeling, isn't it, to finish any project, especially one that's like writing a book that takes much more effort than you thought it was. So I suppose my sentiments have gone from initially curiosity, and then they've gone through annoyance, and as you suggested, maybe occasionally a little bit of anger when you discover something really outrageous, and they've certainly gone now to relief. Relief that the project's done, but then a sort of awakening awareness that it's not enough to say something that's useful. You've got to get it out there and tell people about it and engage in a debate, because I will have made mistakes and there'll be different perspectives, and so I'm kind of ready for a robust discussion about the arguments in the book.
The book is by Angus Hanton, Vassal State: How America Runs Britain. I mean, after I'd finished reading it, I thought, I'm never going to sleep again. Angus Hanton, thank you very much.
Thanks very much, David.